Well, good morning, folks. If I haven't met you before, my name's Ben. I'm the youth and kids pastor here, and it's great to have you here today with us. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It's not Chocolate Sunday, though perhaps breakfast in your house told a different story. We're here to say thank you to God, not to Cadbury's, though I am thankful for Cadbury's. Imagine it was a Hershey's world. It'd be tragic. God has been good to us, not Willy Wonka. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There was a British preacher called W.E. Sangster who died in 1960. He contracted an incurable disease that slowly caused his muscles to waste away, his voice to fail, and his throat to become unable to swallow. And he continued in ministry right up until the point where his voice had gone and he could barely hold a pen. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before he died, he wrote a letter to his daughter. In it, he said, "It is terrible to wake up Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Easter means good news. Jesus is risen, and that is something to shout about. A 20th century American pastor said that the resurrection is God's amen to Christ's statement, "It is finished." Jesus is alive, and Jesus is king. And whether or not he is your king, he is still king. But I want to ask you this morning, is he your king? Have you made the risen Lord Jesus the king of your life? And what does the risen Jesus mean to you? If you are here today and you are not a believer in Jesus, then my prayer is that you will come to understand the significance of the resurrection for our lives. And if you are a believer, I pray that God will reignite your passion and your praise for him with thanksgiving. God has raised Jesus from the dead. When Mary and Peter went to the tomb that morning, when Jesus had risen, they discovered that he was not there. They discovered that death had no hold on him. They discovered that death was not victorious, but that God ruled, and all the promises God made from centuries before had come true, that Jesus had been risen and given authority over all the earth. And so in Christ Jesus, we have numerous blessings if we trust in him and what his death and resurrection means for all mankind. Because of the resurrection, we have new birth. As death has no hold over Jesus' life, so it has no hold over our lives. For those whose trust is in Jesus, they have been risen to new life in Jesus. And with as he was raised from the grave, if our trust is in Jesus, his story becomes our story. In his great mercy, the passage says, he has given us new birth. We are new creations here on earth and promised an eternal life in heaven. We are different here now. I wonder if you've ever thought about what a difference it makes being new people, a new creation in him in your life now. As I reflect, I know that because of new birth, I'm a person who knows God. I'm friends with him. He loves me. He cares for me. I'm not declared sinful, but innocent. I know why I am living. I know what will happen when I die. This is new birth. And this is the life that Jesus' resurrection brings. Because of the resurrection, I have a living hope. Passage says we have new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It wouldn't be much fun being born again, giving this kind of new birth through the resurrection of Jesus, if you knew that you had to just die again at some point and that was the end. But we don't. We have a living hope. If your trust is in Jesus, you've been given new birth into a living hope. We do not have a dead God. Jesus was not left in the grave. He defeated death. Death did not have the last word. Jesus arose. He has victory over the grave. And this means victory for us. We don't need to fear death, because Christ's resurrection is the guarantee that we too will rise to be with him when we die. I think a lot of people are pretty worried about death. And it's because they worship dead gods. If you worship money, then death is scary, because your hope is in a piece of paper. If you worship a statue, then death is to be feared, because your God is man-made and has no power to rescue us from death. If you live for your family and your life is all about providing for them and giving them the best, then you will not look forward to death, because they can't make it any better for you, and you have no hope of a better place for you or for them. But if you worship Jesus, you have hope in someone who has beaten death with a big fat stick and said, "I win." If you worship Jesus, you have hope in someone who decides what happens to the dead, and your verdict is already decided. If your trust is in Jesus, you are on his side, and he has declared you innocent already. You have a living hope, a hope that can be trusted. Because of the resurrection, we have a great inheritance. When I die, I hope to leave behind an enormous inheritance to my children. I want them to be rich beyond measure. I want them to be able to boast about the inheritance that their dad has left them. I hope the inheritance that I leave behind will last for the next 10 generations. That it'll be such a fortress of riches that no one can ever steal it. I hope that the inheritance I leave behind will never be able to rot away, never be wrecked by someone, and never fade. I hope that I can leave my children with a life that has modelled what it means to hope in the imperishable. A life that shows them a true inheritance that can never be taken away from them. A life that declares the true riches of this world and the safest investment on the planet. I hope that my children will enter into the inheritance that comes from Jesus and the resurrected life that we can all be a part of. 1 Peter 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Disciples of Jesus have the certain hope of an inheritance that is better than any rich family member can ever leave to us. Because this inheritance is effective for eternity. Used by date, eternity. This inheritance cannot be taken from those who are shielded by faith. This inheritance is guaranteed through Christ's resurrection. I wonder if you've thought about much about what heaven will be like. What this hope and this place that we'll spend eternity for in will be like. Kind of think it's like a Panadol-free existence. When Jesus said he would die and rise again, people either didn't believe him or didn't really understand. He did die on the cross, as he said, and he did rise again, as he said. And so because he has kept his word in these things, and had victory over death, we can trust his promise that he will come to judge again and take us to be with him. We can trust that we will be taken to live with him in heaven. We will go to a place where there will be no more pain. There will be no more phone calls saying that someone you love very dearly has cancer. Death will be no more. Sickness will be no more. It's been a tough week in our church. People close to us have died. There will be no more tough weeks in heaven. And it's okay to look forward to that. Our bodies feel that they are weakening and becoming more frail every day. But this will not be a problem anymore. We will be without sickness and decay. We will not have sore necks and backs. We will not have any more sadness from broken and hurt relationships. There'll be no more divorce, no more betrayal, no more misunderstandings or scarring arguments. Heaven will be free of this pain. It will be a Panadol-free existence because we will be with God in his presence, in perfection. It will be good. So this morning I invite you to rejoice with me and to trust Jesus. This is the living hope that we have because of the resurrection. Christ has conquered death, and he has proven that it will have no hold on us either for eternity. Isn't it a blessing that Christ was raised from the dead? Imagine he wasn't. Imagine the futility of life. But he was. We need to be thankful to God for this victory and blessing that he has brought for us who trust in his resurrected Son. See, this is a Son worth following. This is a Saviour worth trusting our whole lives to. And it's time to start living as Christians with the hope of heaven. It's time to start living as though the resurrection actually means something. By that I mean that it's time to start living as though we are going to heaven, that is our home and we are very temporary here. Some of us act like we're going to be living on this earth forever and then we're kind of keen for that. I don't want to be here forever. Heaven's going to be so much better. It's time to start living in light of the difference that the resurrection makes and live for the things that matter to God. The crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are the most significant events that have happened in all of history. And though they are that significant, they actually happen for you. Every single one of us. And it's time to say thank you and to praise God with our hearts and our tongues and our lives. Amen.
Let me pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wondrous gift that you have given. Help us, Lord, to praise you with all of our hearts, with all of our life, with everything you've given us. Help us, Lord, to have a great desire for others to know of the great inheritance that you have won for us through your Son. And Lord, we pray that our focus of life will not be to build up an earthly inheritance, one that can perish and fade and spoil, but to pass on to our children and our grandchildren and generations following the great joy it is to know you and to follow you and to serve you. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.